We're so blessed that you've joined us at Cultivating Hearts. We're back in the studio with...
I'm Tara.
You have to say who you are.
I'm Tara.
Taylor.
Catherine.
And I'm Tori.
And I'm Sandy. So we're in James 2, 1 through 13. I've got to get this right. And we're talking about God, you know, and of course, we're going to talk about the royal law. And also... we're talking about the love and mercy that God wants us to share and show everyone.
I love that. I love how this passage ends with the mercy triumphs over judgment. But let's read the passage again so that the people that may have joined in today weren't with us for the other shows. James 2, 1 through 13 says, "My dear brothers and sisters, how can you claim to have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ if he favors some people over others? For example, suppose someone comes into your meeting dressed in fancy clothes and expensive jewelry, and another comes in who is poor and dressed in dirty clothes. If you give special attention and a good seat to the rich person, but you say to the poor one, 'You can stand over there or I'll sit on the floor,' well, doesn't this discrimination show that your judgments are guided by evil motives? Listen to me, dear brothers and sisters. Hasn't God chosen the poor in this world to be rich in faith? Aren't they the ones who inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him? But you dishonor the poor. Isn't it the rich who oppress you and drag you into court? And aren't they the ones who slander Jesus, whose noble name you bear? Yes, indeed. It is good when you obey the royal law as found in the scriptures. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you favor some over others, you are committing a sin. You are guilty of breaking the law. For the person who keeps all the laws except one is guilty as a person who has broken all of God's laws. For the same God who said you must not commit adultery also said you must not murder. So if you murder someone but do not commit adultery, you have still broken the law. So whatever you say or whatever you do, remember that you will be judged by the law that sets you free. There will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others. But if you have been merciful, God will be merciful when he judges you." I love that. That's so beautiful. We're going to focus in the royal law. And I thought this was really fun. On the break, we caught something because Catherine is reading both in English and in Arabic. And in Arabic, what does it call the royal law?
Kingly.
And I'm like, "Oh, Catherine, why did you say that?" And she said, because that's how it's written in the Arabic Bible. The reason why that is that it comes from the Greek words basilikon, which comes from basileus, which is king. And so royal or regal, depending on your translation, is the basilikon, and it comes from the basileus. And so when a person is decreed by the King of Kings, it's fit for a king. It's considered to be the king of laws. And that's what Jesus referred to as our greatest commandment. And so that's pretty beautiful. And I love that. It's just wonderful. The royal law, let's talk about it. We kind of mentioned it in one of the shows. I can't remember which one, what it actually is. So you guys just tell me, what is the royal law that you know it to be?
I mean, like in the Bible, like the Ten Commandments, like the royal law, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said the two greatest commandments is love God and love people. Mm-hmm. That seems pretty royal.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Based on this standard... it's funny that you brought up the Ten Commandments. Would you say that you are a person who has broken this law?
Yep.
I don't think any of us could say that we have it. It's just really funny. Are you going to say something?
No, I'm good. I was pondering what you said. And
it was, I was like, wait, that I identify with that.
Yes.
Is it possible for, I was thinking through this because at one point during the week, I had a circumstance where we were talking about the need for obedience and how in, I think it's the Luke passage when Jesus is baptized, it says that Jesus said to John, he said, "You must baptize me because obedience fulfills righteousness now." And thinking through the royal law, it's a command. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your spirit, to love your neighbor as
yourself.
And then I wrote down as I was studying this months ago, partial obedience is disobedience. Selective obedience is disobedience. Mm-hmm. Wow.
I know.
Busted.
Right? Yeah, busted.
Nobody can say they have not broken this law. So one of the things that God's convicted me, and I don't know, Taylor would be the only one that wouldn't know this story, but at one point, God made me realize that when I have the issue, when I have offense, when I'm the one that's upset, that is a reflection of my heart, and therefore it means I'm the one that has fallen out of love.
Mm-hmm.
That it's my responsibility, because I can never hold anybody else accountable, and most of the time it's my Greg that gets it. And so my famous story I love to tell has to deal with the eyebrow. One morning I was doing my Bible study time. He was doing his. I always sit in my chair. He and the kids have bought me a chair that has, I don't know, French writing all over it. I don't even know what it says. But he bought it for me as my writing chair. That it's the chair for me to sit and allow God to speak to me and through me. And so it's my chair that it's my chair. Everybody in the house knows it's my chair. And so I sit there and I study the word. He sits at the computer and I use the Bible and he uses the computer Bible. It's just we're different in how we do that. But one day I looked over, we're talking, and I got the eyebrow. I honestly don't remember the conversation. I don't remember what he said, but he made me so stinking hot mad. My Bible study and my prayer time was then from that point forward telling God about that man. I was so mad because he gave me the eyebrow. And as far as I was concerned, it was like he might as well flip the bird at me because I got the eyebrow. I mean, and I was so angry. I'm just like ranting to God about Greg. And I finished my prayer time, which was total sin. And I open up my computer and I have an email from a long distant cousin that was dialoguing with me for a week about, is it required for us to go to church? And her opening statement was, I think, can we just agree to disagree? And, you know, and I'm like, oh, yes, of course, I love you so much, but you need to know it's still in scripture. So it's not that you're disagreeing with me, but, you know, and I'm being all gracious and merciful and so holy, and, like thinking I'm so special, showing her favoritism, because I think she deserves it. And at that point, Greg didn't with the eyebrow. And all of a sudden, it's like God hit me on the head and he's, you know, so you were willing to show love to her, which you honestly haven't seen at that point probably in 20 years, but you're not willing to the one that you made the oath that you would honor and love and obey. And I was so convicted. I shut the computer, got on my knees in front of Greg. He's accustomed to me. And I said, I'm so sorry. And he's like, why? And I'm like, I just realized I wasn't loving you. I was mad at you because you raised your eyebrow at me.
And he's like, what?
He's accustomed to me. I'm like, I've been mad at you for over an hour. I've been so angry at you that I haven't been able to think. And it's because you raised your eyebrow. But it dawned on me, because scripture says love covers a multitude of sins, or love covers an offense. I was offended. I fell out of love. Mm-hmm. It was my responsibility. Regardless of what you did, I didn't love you in that moment. Yeah. And I haven't been loving you very well for the last hour. You just need to know. And so I asked God this question. I said, God, would you show me how many times a day I walk offended? Because if love takes no offense, that means every time I'm offended, I stopped loving.
Mm-hmm.
And I found I was the walking offended. And that I wasn't loving very well because I was always offended by people.
Hmm.
And so I started confessing it as a sin every time it showed up. And eventually over time, I found I don't get offended as much. And because of that, I don't get frustrated as much with people because I am choosing to love them where they're at and to see them where they're at. And that's what the royal law is all about. And it's the challenge that I'm going to love them as God has loved me and as I've been valued, that I need to allow that love to be evident to those around me. Now, I don't have it perfectly. I still have places where I have to repent on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
But that is what God is wanting from us. And it's difficult to keep this. Why do you think it's so hard to keep this law? What is your struggle? Why is it hard for you to keep this royal law? We're on the radio. I think you're supposed to talk.
Yes, I guess I'll confess first.
I repent.
You know, it's a weird thing. I find, like, for me, actually, ironically, favoritism, I show favoritism to good things over people. Like, I mean, whether it's, yeah, I really love ministry and I love pouring myself out. I love doing all these good things. I love serving. And I make it the idol. Mm. And, you know, I mean, even like with the previous passage you read a while back about, you know, the woman and Jesus and she like washes feet. I mean, the guy, the was it Judas or I forget who it was, but the guy is like, hey, she could have, you know, sold this to the poor and she could have helped all these people. Like, that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. He wanted the poor to be helped with the money. Mm. But he loved that over the person, over Jesus. And that was sin. And I think I fall out of love when I love good things over people. I'd rather, I mean, it sounds kind of, it's like oxymoron, really, where I fall in love with the ministry and I miss the Jesus and the people. I think that's my biggest way. I walk out of love when I value something, even if it's a good thing, it's still an idol.
It's so
easy to do. Yeah. Say the same thing.
Identify with that sin. I had
that. Me too.
All right. What about you guys? Why is it difficult for you?
I think it's maybe easier for me to love myself and not love my neighbor as myself. I guess it's so tied to that favoritism. If you're trying, I'm trying to win someone's approval or someone's whatever so that they put me on a certain status or they treat me whatever. And so it's a very selfish, I'm going to love myself, but I'm not going to love them like I love myself kind of thing.
Right. That's, yeah. And I identify with that.
Me too.
How about you, Taylor?
So I would consider myself having like a soft heart, like with volleyball, like if my coach is yelling at me, like she knows she can't do that. Like, I don't know, I will cry. And so like, it's very, I've become very easy to like get like offended or be hurt by someone. And you, as you were talking about that, that it, I don't know, like for me, like that's like when I fall in love is like when people like have hurt me and, it just, I've like all the time, like, there's like friends though that are like that, and so I have to like I've found that I have to push through that and just love them no matter what, because sometimes they don't even know what they do, and it's hard, but I'm still working on that.
Yeah, I have to pray, Jesus, show me how you see them, because I'm like you. I get you know, I'm a people pleaser, but I get my feelings hurt too. But
yeah,
so it continues.
Yeah.
To kind of what you said earlier of like we have to walk right and have that commitment of heart and mind, and so whenever I get offended it's because I'm the one who's sitting at the place of honor in my head and so I'm the center of attention.
Like, how can they treat me that way?
Yeah.
Like, it's really a pride thing, you know?
Yeah, it is.
It's, I care about me. Yeah. And I want, whether, I even good things, I want this because I think I'm worth it.
Yep.
At the expense of other people.
Mm-hmm.
And, people that show favoritism are very proud.
You know, that just shows how, you know, it's just human. We're humans. Mm-hmm. We're not perfect. We're not going to be perfect until we see Jesus. Something to look forward to.
And God does not have condemnation for us when we have this.
Right.
He has the desire for us to deal with it so that we can move forward and grow. And so not to allow ourselves to be condemned when we recognize it, but immediately.
Convicted instead of condemned.
Exactly. Yeah. Repent and ask for the love to happen and ask for our love to grow. Ask for our love to increase. Praying often for deep love. I've been praying a lot for, and it was, I think probably the last month, maybe 6 weeks, over Grace University in particular, 1 Peter 4:8, where it says, "Love covers, love deeply, for love covers a multitude of sins." And that if I can love from the depth and the width and the height that Christ had for me, then those sins, they're wiped away. Mm-hmm. And it's, he says, as far as the east is to the west is what he does for us. Later in James, we see where he says, if we confess our sins to one another, that he, you know, the faithful fervent prayers of that the sins are healed, that we are forgiven. And so being willing to bring it before God and allowing God to give us that restoration, because mercy triumphs over judgment. And when we were preparing this particular passage, it hit me, and I don't know how I had never caught it before. Wait a second. God is 100% merciful, but God is also 100% judgment.
That's right.
He is 100% judge and 100% mercy. You cannot have the God of mercy without the God of judgment.
Correct. He's the same one.
And so recognizing that I'm not judge, but I can walk in that mercy and allowing him to walk with the righteous judgment that he gives. And so the question was asked, so why is God's judgment okay and ours not? So I want to put that out there. Why is God's judgment okay? What is it about God's judgment that is different than our judgment?
Well, he is God and we are not. So we've got to remember that.
Amen.
You know, yeah,
true.
That's a big one. Yeah.
Right.
We forget that, though.
If you were to answer that, what would your answer be? Because if this is critical, one minute, quickly.
Yeah, he's holy. Mm-hmm. I mean, straight up. Someone that judges someone with this hypocrite has the same sin. Mm. And God's holy. There's no standard.
There's no sin
compare.
In him.
Yeah. Anybody want to add? 50 seconds. Okay, what it comes down to is God's judgment is unto righteousness.
Yep.
And as Tori said, he is holy. And as Sandy said, he is God. It is unto righteousness. It is because righteousness is what he's bringing forth. When we do our judgment, it is because we are selfish.
Right.
It's a self-oriented motive. Mm-hmm. And it's not unto righteousness. And that's where the difference is between our spirit of judgment and God's. And so praying for that mercy to be evident in us, because the mercy is what triumphs over our unrighteous judgment. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want to have in our lives. And so let's end the program with challenging everybody. Let's pray that into us, that because the Beatitudes tells us that blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Mm-hmm. Amen.
God bless.